of praise this morning. Thank Him. Don't forget to always give God thanks. We ask God for so many things that we forget to thank Him most times. So always remember to give Him thanks. Sometimes your prayer should be just giving thanks to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the air that I breathe. Thank you, Lord, that I have strength in my body. Thank you, Lord, that I'm well. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm so glad to see Pam this morning. Pam, you're healed in Jesus' name. I love Pam. She powers on for God. She's an amazing woman. She encourages me every time I look at them. And so we thank God for His healing touch upon Pam, restoration, made whole, well, complete, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, music team. Thank you, Lord, for the team, and thank you, Lord, for what they're bringing. Hallelujah. Well, we have been embarking on some interesting things, and God has been showing us some things. And I have been enjoying our prayer meetings on Saturday because that's really where God speaks and God confirms a lot of things that we feel and know and sense in the Spirit, that's really where God wants us to walk and go. Amen? Hallelujah. So this morning I'm going to talk about things that we need to, I believe so much in principles of the Word of God. So some of the things that God has been showing us is that some things that doesn't work, we have to go to things that really do work. God's giving us a new strategy in the years or months to come, which Papa Joe and I have been discussing together, and we are going to implement that in the church because we believe that that's how we're going to really go. That's part of our 2020 shift for next year, and I'm excited about that because we have to deal with the source of the problem and not deal with Band-Aid solutions. Amen? Most times we deal with Band-Aid solutions, and that's good, but I believe that God's shifted us to another direction now. And as I bring this word to you this morning, it's in preparation because I know that God, if God's preparing me for this, then I want you also to be prepared. Those of you who come to this fellowship should know that. We bring principles of the Word of God, not just because it's a good idea, but it's because we want you to get it, and we want you to be active in the things that God has called us to be or to do. And I want to talk about some things that are very essential for us, and it's got to be relevant as well for us. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that you will watch over your word to fulfill it in the lives of your people this morning. But not only that, Lord, I pray that we will be people that are people that will do, are doers of the word. That God, when we receive your word, that we activate it in our lives. And that's where we truly see the power that comes, the power of change, is when we put your word into action. Because your word is spirit. Your word is power. Your word is life. A lamp unto our feet. And every time we use your word, Lord, you breathe upon this word to activate it and move in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for mindset change in your people this morning. Lord, even those that are young in the Lord will understand. Those even younger in age will understand this morning. And I pray that mothers and fathers will receive this and be able to share it with their children as well. God, I pray, you watch over your word. Hide me, O God, that they don't see me. Hide me. And cover me, O God, that your word is what they hear and what they see. God, I give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Tradition gets in the ways of the kingdom. I want to start this message by bringing some points that are very important for you to understand. And I will attach all these points to the scripture. So it's not, you don't think I've been reading women's magazine, amen? And getting stuff from News Weekly or Ken's Poster, hallelujah? Because everything is attached to his word. The kingdom constitution, I love this. This is the kingdom constitution, taught me a lot of things. Man has always, for generation to generation, captured the experience on a medium called tradition. Now, I'm bringing some of the things that I've spoke about last year, but the season for this is now. I remember preaching some of this at the end of last year. And as I was going through, asking God, what is it that you want me to do? And I met, in the process of doing this, I met people who started to talk about this. And I thought, okay, now we're going to set this thing in place so that our church began to put these things into practice. Amen? Because I believe that this up there, that is a Band-Aid solution. And for us to get to the source of things, we have to. See, what we've been doing as a church, we're the only church in the city or that I know of that are actually going out and doing crusades in the outback communities and places where it's so needed. It's been so neglected by church. Most people are focusing on the city. But I believe that our problem, when Pastor Bill planted this church, he planted it because he saw the need of the indigenous people of this land. And not only that, it's the people that are in need of the gospel. But this COVID-19 thing, God is using that to separate the goats from the sheep. Because you know who truly is coming to the church to hear the word of God. You know who's truly going to turn on the screen and watch this morning. That's you watching this morning on live stream. Because you have the option of watching Neighbors. You have the option of watching some documentary today. But you turn your TV on right now because you're watching the word of God coming to you live. And that is why you are watching, because you're one of those sheep and not a goat. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Tradition exists in every culture, every nation, every ethnic groups, every social and economic society. Tradition exists in every generation. I am talking about we're going to be renewing our minds, by transforming our minds by the renewing the power of the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. Tradition provides a sense of identity and our history. Everybody has traditions. All of you came from some sort of tradition somewhere. We Papua New Guineans have 850 of it. And God brought Tower of Babel and left it with us. And that's a problem. Because all these different traditions, you know. And my wife hates my tradition because my tradition really focuses on men. And she comes to my village and says, I really hate your tradition. And my mom really hates it because everything is focused on men and makes men lazy. And all the women do all the hard work and gardening, all the washing, and the men just sit and chew betel nut all day. And that's what the kind of tradition we want to break. But we have traditions like that in church. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm preaching this message this morning. Tradition provides a sense of identity with our history. You really become aware of who you are when you look at your culture and the history of where you came from. And so you based yourself based on that culture or tradition. Amen? Hallelujah. But the tradition that it's pure state, this is the point, is essential, good, and necessary. Sometimes people have bad attitudes toward tradition, but there's some traditions that has kept us in a good place. Amen? Which means the tradition of raising family, the tradition of getting families to church. And my dad has a tradition of going to church. That became a tradition. Whether he understands who God is or whether he understands what the Bible is, he just loves going to church. So that became a tradition for us. But I had to question this tradition when I grew up. When I was starting to see all the rituals and all these little things going on, I'm thinking, where's God in this? You know, I'm asking questions. So when you start asking questions, God's going to go after you. Hallelujah. So God wants the kingdom tradition in only to be the one that you and I focus on this morning. Hallelujah. Tradition is a product of reality and truth. A person, a culture, or a nation that they consider essential. So they consider something that is so essential and important, they packaged it and made it become a tradition. And the word tradition comes from the word trading. So they traded along to the generations. For example, racism. Racism is actually a tradition. It is not you and never born to become a racist. Little babies do not understand racism. A black kid will be playing around with a little white kid and they think they're cousins because they don't see the color. And when they take the black kid away, or the white kid away, the little black kid goes, where are you taking my cousin? Where's my cousin? That's how so natural it is for us to understand. We are the ones that teach our children ignorance. And that's where everything starts to go crazy because the parents or the people that are supposed to be teaching their children are bringing the wrong traditions to them. So I'm pretty much talking about this. It's a learned culture. So that all that stuff, it's learned. You send your kids to school, they come back learning something that you didn't teach them. They act differently. They come up with a new language or a new curse word and you go, I didn't even teach. I don't even say these things. You know what I'm saying? So your children are learning something that is not supposed to be learning at school. I was talking to Pastor Joe and I said, Joe, I am talking to the parents of our church. and they're concerned about our children. And I have to do something about it. And I'm going to do something about it. So what I wanted to do is bring this to prepare us for what I'm going to do or what God is going to do with us. Therefore, traditions are experiences, actual factual things that happen that people who experience them then decided that this is worth preserving and then transferring it to the generation. But we've got to be careful what sort of tradition we are transferring to the people or to the next generation. They're designed by or created by man originally from the purpose of capturing or preserving something. So we have to see, tradition is an obstacle when the kingdom of God is wanting to be established in our lives or in churches. The key point is this: if you understand the purpose of tradition, then you will understand what tradition should not be. That's the key point. If you understand it, then you'll know why it should not be. What is wrong with it? You've got to question it. You've got to ask yourself. You've got to study. You've got to go back to the Word of God. You've got to check to make sure that this tradition should not be what it is. The true essence of tradition is means to an end. God wants to separate the means to the end. We are doing the wrong thing sometimes and we think it's the right thing. Hallelujah. So example, it's tradition that we are transferring to our children, which is racism, all the other stuff that you're teaching your children, which is not right or from God. These are things that you learn from your parents and you think it's right and it's you and it makes you what you are. It's wrong in the kingdom of God. I always say, whatever that is not biblical, whatever that is not in the Word of God, you cannot dress it up and make it look Christian, put some new tags on it, put some scripture to it, attach everything to it to make it look like a Christian thing, and then call it that to justify yourself from that, from other people saying things that it's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? It is very important for us to understand these things, because if this church is going to move forward and achieve the things that God is showing us, then we got to understand these things so that we can teach it and bring it to the people. Destroy ignorance in the lives of people. The devil is not the problem. Stop blaming the devil. Papa John just talked about it. Stop blaming him. He has no power over you. He's got nothing on you unless you give him the space to operate. If you are possessed by the devil, then you've given him something. You've given him the power to operate in you. But until then, you are free. He's no problem to you. He knows that you're a good Christian. All of us are good Christians. We're not going to commit adultery or murder somebody or rob a bank or do all this stuff. Have you robbed the bank? If you have, I'll talk to you after church. But you know what I'm saying. He knows that you cannot do these things. So he comes subtly and he brings all this stuff that you think it's nice. He dresses it all up. And I spoke about that last week. That he dressed up like a prince of light and comes. Because he knows that you and I love light, the truth. So he comes with counterfeit truth. And it doesn't come in a big thing, just small little things. And that's where he's winning every time. And that's where we're bringing messages like that to destroy ignorance in your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Or am I just really excited about my own message? Oh, hallelujah. So it's a big question. When does tradition become dangerous? That's something we need to understand. Now, tradition, remember, is necessary, product that captures and preserves something that is of truth. But if we see tradition doesn't bring truth, we need to question it. We need to see where we're going with this. The goal of tradition is to preserve, to protect, and to deliver experience and establish truth from one generation to the next. Therefore, tradition is only valid when it delivers the original truth. Somebody say amen to that. If it doesn't deliver the original truth, it's not from God. Hallelujah. That means that every minute tradition stops delivering to you original truth, hello somebody, that tradition becomes invalid. If it doesn't bring you truth anymore, listen, the word says, you shall hear the truth and the truth shall set you free. The Bible doesn't need you to decorate it and make it look powerful. It's already powerful, hallelujah. You don't have to dress it up and make it look nice and put a new covering on it and really powerful covering. The word itself has a spirit breathing on it. And it's powerful enough. So when you preach it, you don't have to persuade anybody. You don't have to do the Fijian Bible on them every time, hit them on the head. Hallelujah. Or the PNG Bible, kick him in. Believe, believe, believe. It becomes a dance. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying myself right now because I really delivered this message this morning, and I believe the Holy Ghost is talking to us. Hallelujah. So you don't have to do that. The word is powerful. Believe me. Preach the word of God. Preach the truth. The truth shall set people free. The Holy Ghost is watching on His word to what? Fulfill it. Hallelujah. And He told us He will do it. He will watch it and fulfill the great work that He's already started in your life. So tradition becomes invalid when it's not delivering the truth to the people. So you and I need to question it. If you're still teaching ignorance to your children, you need to change. You need to come back and say, God, I need some truth to teach to my children. You can be free from, delivered from slavery, but if your mind's not transformed, then you are still teaching rubbish to your children or walking in rubbish, and they're seeing you and then they're following you. Hallelujah. Tradition can become the burial ground for truth. It can become a graveyard for experience. And that's the thing, and I'm going to attach that to Scripture very soon. So ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. The danger of tradition is when it takes place of the truth it's supposed to deliver. Hallelujah. So it becomes dangerous. If you're an ignorant person and you've been delivering ignorance and teaching people ignorance, then all of you have become monsters. If you're an ignorant person, you're a dangerous person to the next person or your neighbor or your church or your boss or your friend or your family, even to your children. I said if you teach dumbness, if you're dumb and you teach dumbness to your children, all of you are learning from the dumb university of dumbness, and then dumbness is spread and ignorance is being transferred to your children. Everybody living in ignorance. The Bible says, my people perish because of, not the devil, but because of lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. So knowledge first before power. Knowledge first before you want to come stand and preach the word. Knowledge first before you want to become a pastor. Hallelujah. Knowledge first before you want to become anybody in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Tradition was intended to lead us to truth, not to become the truth itself. That's the point. God's greatest problem with mankind is that man's constant tendency to make the method the message. That's where we always go wrong, when we put the method before the message. Hallelujah. That's the problem. That is not a new problem. Let me just attach these statements that I've said to Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Very famous Scripture. It says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Hallelujah. Jesus was mentoring those guys. Papa John and I are going to start a mentoring program called the Jesus Strategy. We're going to empower men in their own house. Scrape all the home groups and start men, build men up inside their home house. And all the mothers said, that's a very quiet amen. Shout out and say, thank you, Pastor. It's about time my husband became a priest under my house. Hallelujah. And all the husbands went quiet. You'll be excited about what God is doing. So Jesus was doing a mentorship program here. And he takes these three men up the hill, Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, the Bible says. His face shone like the sun. Oh, hallelujah. And his clothes become as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now listen to Peter. Peter likes to always shoot himself in the foot with his mouth. Verse 4. And it's a common problem in church today. That's how all the problems in church starts. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Hallelujah. Sounds familiar, eh? In other words, let us build a monument here. Right here, where everything happened, where we saw Elijah and Moses, so that we can come back and worship the tabernacle. No wonder God hid Moses' body, because people would have worshiped Moses than worship God. Hallelujah. I love the voice from heaven, and it's the Father speaking now. And the Father speaking immediately spoke. Verse 5, he says, while Peter was still speaking, in other words, God just jumped in and said, shut up, Peter. He says, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Everybody say, "Hear him." Hallelujah. In other words, Peter, shut up, stop talking, and listen to what my son is saying. Hallelujah. Moses or Elijah, he says, stop trying to build a monument on these people and just listen to what my son is saying. God confirmed who Jesus was on that mountain. Did it the second time. Hallelujah. He says, don't build nothing here. Listen to what this man is saying. In other words, God is saying, it's got nothing to do with Moses, Elijah, or monuments, or some tabernacle. It's got everything to do with my son. Everything to do with my son. Listen, this is the problem we're attacking in church today. This is the problem we're dealing with people in places where they need to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, because tradition has bonded them. They're slaves to tradition. And so those kind of things has to be broken, and allowing the Holy Ghost to move into those places to transform people. Hallelujah. I know that God is going to change people. I know that God is in the business of transforming people. It's not our job to change people. It's our job to bring the truth and teach people the truth so that people, ignorance in people's lives will be broken. I'm on the path of destroying ignorance in your lives. Hallelujah. I don't care how powerful you can preach. Oh, you can pray for people and they get healed. I don't care about all that stuff. I care about you having integrity and principle in your life. Hallelujah. Paul says this. If you have all that stuff, you're just a sounding gong if you don't have the true love inside of you. You love people that much that you want to correct them and make sure that they walk in the place where God wanted them to walk. Hallelujah. God literally told the disciples, "Will you just shut up and listen to my son?" That's really what it is. It's a favorite word in this church. Shut up and listen to what I'm saying. Tradition is vulnerable because it can become the message. And we've been caught up in this rubbish. Churches have been caught up in this rubbish. You wonder why the kingdom of God is not manifesting in people's lives? Because all this other stuff that people are bringing in, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So while he was still speaking, God cuts in and says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Friends, we must understand God's continuous problem with humanity is that man keeps making the message or the method the message. We're using the method to make it a message. God is saying, you got it wrong. Every denomination, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Anglican, whether you're Methodist, or where you're Catholic, Lutheran, whatever you may be, never used to be that, or whatever you used to be, that is not known in heaven. God doesn't know a Catholic. God does not know a Baptist. God does not know a Lutheran. God doesn't know any of that. None of that exists in heaven. None of them exist. Only the kingdom of God exists. And we've been bringing the kingdom of God to you so that you can break away from all this other stuff and get back to the message where God is trying to bring to us. God knows nothing about your terminologies. We used to identify one another. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. God doesn't know anything about it. He knows the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. He knows his people. Hallelujah. Because all of them are products of people's experience. And where they were adapted and become a doctrine and they become a tradition themselves. And that's where we are stuck. Hallelujah. So it's time now for us to get away from that. If you are stuck in tradition, get out. Set forth the truth and get into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you cannot come to the Father or to the kingdom unless you come through me. I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot come to me unless the Holy Ghost brings you to me. The power of change comes from the Holy Spirit. You cannot change unless the power of the Holy Ghost changes you. True repentance comes into the kingdom of God. Mindset change. Because all the social gospel and all the progressive Christianity has destroyed people's lives. And they think, oh, we can just bring everything, dress it up and make it look nice, and that's the gospel. It is not. So we have to remember these things. God knows nothing about all these things that we preconceive in our preconceived ideas about church. God is bigger than your past experience, so don't trap God into some little thing and build a little monument and call it that's God. Hallelujah. I am dealing with people who are going out and not coming under proper covering of the church or submitting under proper leadership, going out and propagating stuff that they don't not understand, out of context, creating some things. Listen, revelation's good. If God gives you revelation, praise the Lord. It's a revelation. But don't go putting a tag on it and create a doctrine out of it. That's where you go wrong. People always come to me and say, oh, God told me this, and the Holy Spirit told me this, and I heard this from God. I said, you better be careful, because Joseph Smith had from God too. Do you know who he is? I better not go there then. Be careful. People hearing from God. And it's a dangerous place to be, because when you're not under proper covering and proper submission under leadership, you can go wrong. It's all about integrity, transparency, and principle in this church. First, you walk blameless before God, righteous and holy before God, serve faithfully, understanding the kingdom of God principles, then you can go and teach them truth. So now they're propagating ignorance. So more generation of ignorance. And I'm glad that the people are sensing that for themselves and saying, something is wrong here. Of course something is wrong. If it doesn't connect with the Bible, it's not aligning with the Word of God, and there's the Spirit of God, you're discerning something that's not from God, then it's not from God. Hallelujah. I mean, I can mention names of people who've started stuff and used the method to do stuff, but that's not really what God wants us to do. God wants His kingdom to be preached. God wants the truth to be heard. God wants Jesus Christ only, and not any other methods or any other kind of style. Believing this and believing that, we scrap this, believe that, or we believe this. God doesn't care about all that stuff. He believes that you need to know the true purpose of why Christ was here, and why He died on the cross, and why He restored you back into the kingdom, and why you're supposed to be living like a kingdom person. Not a Christianity person or all this other stuff that you want to talk about, denomination that, all that stuff. That's not from God. I thank God that I didn't come from that place. Hallelujah. And I preach the truth. Tell the people the truth. Stop hiding the truth from people because you're scared of losing people in church. That is the wrong motive. And if you have this motive, then you should not be there at the first place. I'm sorry. That's the truth. And they begin to attach methods in this thing. They freeze it and trade it. And we now have developed all this other stuff that we should follow. That's why Jesus said, that's why God says, this is my son. Listen to him. Forget the tabernacles and the place to worship. Follow him. Hallelujah. God is not a Catholic. God is not a Methodist. God is not a Baptist. God is not a Lutheran. A Seventh-day Adventist. God is bigger than all your name tags. Every name tag that you have, God is bigger than that. And the problem is this, we've got to go and deal with those things now, and get people out of there so that they can all come into the kingdom. Very important things. Jesus addressed this issue in Matthew chapter 15. It says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Here's a word of warning. Sometimes elders come and bring something to you, check the Word of God to make sure it's from God. Don't just believe everything they say and follow them. Hallelujah. I had to check what my dad was bringing to us. When I grew up and understand the Word of God, I had to double check. And I thought, thanks, Dad. That was a great tradition, but I met the Holy Ghost. So I'm going that way. And you better follow me too. Hallelujah. My mom discovered the Holy Spirit. Boom. Transformed from there into there. And he said, you better follow me. So everybody understood the truth when the Holy Ghost came into play. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. So they came up with the original age-old argument. Elders' tradition are broken by your disciples. Listen to Jesus' response. He says in verse 3, he answered and said to them, and I love Jesus. He comes up with the great, great words. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? God says, how come you are so serious about your own traditions that you violate the command of God? Jesus was questioning them that. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses mother or father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or your mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God. Be very careful with this. This is a context that you would understand. Verse 5, it says, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God. Now, when you look at the context of the scripture and what Jesus was addressing at the time, some Jewish people of Jesus' day had a way to go around the command of God. Does it sound like a familiar thing? We come up with our own little thing to justify ourselves to go around His word. And that's what they were doing. They said, if they declared all their possessions or savings that they received from God as a gift of God, then that belongs to God. So they have to give it back to God. So they wanted to do that so that they don't have the responsibility to look after their elders, their mothers, and their fathers. They're using that. Imagine that. Hallelujah. No wonder God put that law there. Honor your mother and your father. Because He knows the kind of rubbish is going to happen. Human beings are very, very strange people. Hallelujah. Strange species, I should say. And then He says, and then he did not honor his father or mother. He brought them to God's law. I love Jesus. He said, you want to talk about law? I'll bring you to law. And I'll explain it to you. Because I come to fulfill the law. I come that the Spirit of God will be imparted in the law. Hallelujah. So don't talk to me about law. I am law. I am the Word. Hallelujah. And He brought them to their law. And He says, therefore, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, He says. And then He used the favorite word of all, hypocrites. Hallelujah. That means actors with so many masks. That's the true meaning of the word hypocrite. Jesus went into the Greek. Hallelujah. Took out the best word and called the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He says, you hypocrites. Hallelujah. I love it. It's straightforward. Boom. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, and then he made those famous statements in verse 8. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lip, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Check what is being propagated and taught to you through the Word of God. Align it with the Word of God. If it doesn't align with the Word of God, get away from there. Hallelujah. How much more warning and caution will be pastors telling the people, be ready for what is coming. Jesus warned about false prophets and false teachings and counterfeit signs and wonders coming to draw people away. And if you're the person that follows up, and listen, Friday mornings, 5 to 6, get up, join me and Pastor Joe, 5 o'clock in the morning to 6. We are bringing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, talking about the things of the Spirit. Don't be ignorant about these things. And we make it 5 o'clock to 6 because it's part of your discipline to get up early. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. We can do it at 7 at night or 8 at night. I said, no, let's get it at 5. So raise everybody up in the morning and discipline themselves to get up. Hallelujah. Come on, we are living in 2020. 2021 is not going to be the same. If you think it's going to be good next year, it is not going to be good. Therefore, we must come back to align ourselves with the Word of God, stand strong on His promises, and see the manifestation of the power of God take us through the season. Hallelujah. Important for us. I can't stress it enough. I'm excited about the word. I'm just preaching to myself. You don't know. Hallelujah. He says, you hypocrites. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They worship me in vain. Their teachings and rules created but taught by man has become a what? Tradition. Listen to me. People that come here have been destroyed by tradition. They can see. The COVID-19 is separating people from the ships from the goat. You know who is truly after God's word. You know who's truly wanting God's word. Who you know who truly loves to come to church to hear God's word when these things happen. Now everybody's using excuses. Oh, we don't have to go to church because of the social distancing, so we can just stay home and go do this and go do that. And we are still on live stream, so you have no excuse. Hallelujah. When tradition replaces truth, an attempt to become the truth, it must be challenged. Because if we don't challenge tradition, we could be living a lie. Hallelujah. It is responsible for every generation to study, to investigate, to explore. If necessary, challenge it. Don't just listen to it and believe it. Challenge it. Where? By the Word of God. And have the Spirit of God living inside of you to be able to do that. He gave us the Spirit. He said, wait in that upper room until I send the Helper. That's the Helper who comes and helps you to understand His Word. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you will be preaching your own thing. You can read from a woman's magazine and preach from there too. Or preach from anything that you saw on TV. Preach from the Word of God, the truth. Hallelujah. It is our responsibility to change the mindset of the generation that's going to come after us. The reason we have problems in this world is because we keep bringing ignorance to the generation. And Jesus said, God says, my people perish not because of the devil, but because of what? Lack of knowledge. And I will stand on this word all through this year and next year too, until we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. Not just by word of mouth or lip service, but in the heart. It gets from there into the heart. Hallelujah. Get it from there into the heart. And it changes everything. People who pray and do these signs don't even know what it is. Somebody that did that had a revelation and an experience in God knows what it meant. But now everybody's doing it without even thinking what it is. Come on. Let's sit up and deal with these things, because that's the truth. Don't be scared of what? What were you scared of people? Scared of people saying things against you? Sticks and stones can do nothing to you. You know where you came from. You know where you are in Christ. You know where you're going. Hallelujah. That's why don't hide the truth from people. We hide the truth. We teach ignorance. We raise up a whole new generation of ignorant people. You look at America now. And you see all this stuff happening on the streets and you wonder, what happened? Well, that has been happening undercover. You take gospel out of your schools and scripture out of your life and you expect the devil to sit around and have a cup of tea with you. He's going to plan and scheme things. And now the whole generation of that kind of people are rising up. And this country needs to be very careful, and we got to teach truth to the people, to the generation that we have been given responsibility. Listen to the Jesus questioning those scribes and Pharisees who have been so ingrained and in tradition for what? 400 years. Between the book of Malachi and Matthew, 400 years. God had not entered the earth in a personal prophetic form for 400 years. And by the time he showed up, he had to deal with hardened hearts and religious-minded people that are so bounded by religion. And Jesus' biggest task was get this thing out of them and bring the kingdom into the people. Hallelujah. The transfer of ignorance is a sacrifice and betrayal of a generation. Listen to me. All of us sitting here today, this morning, have a responsibility to bring truth to the next generation. If we cannot reach these people or other people that have gone before us or have hardened their hearts, go to the little ones. Teach the young generation. Bring the truth to them. Hallelujah. Don't leave them to be fending for themselves. God made a statement in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6. He says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, this is a powerful statement, I will reject you from being priests for me. That's why Papa Joe and I are trying to raise up men who become priests unto God in the house. And if you're tired of the devil punching and kicking you around, well, come and attend this little mentoring program that we're going to start. And we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to really guide us and do the things that He needs to do in our hearts to change. Hallelujah. Enough of messing around with the things of the devil. So He says, I will also reject you from being priests for me because you have forgotten the law. Here's another powerful statement. He says, I also will forget your children. That is a generational curse right there. It's not a curse from God. It's His Word. But if we go against His Word, we are living a curse in our life. Because God's word is power and life. If you go against that, you are living on your own inner curse. If you read the Bible always tells us you were what? Cursed with a curse. God never cursed anybody. God says, here's the mountain of blessing, here's the mountain of curse. You choose. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. And he looked at Israel and said, you choose your God. Hallelujah. It's all a choice. And he says, I will also forget your children. Like I said before, you're dumb. You teach dumb things to your children. You all come out from the youth, you're dumb. Everybody's dumb. Generation after generation after generation, all dumb. Dumb meaning stupid. Stupid meaning you just don't want to listen to the truth of God. And you cannot teach and train stupid. Or change stupid. Stupid is stupid. Hallelujah. Is that good enough? Everybody's gone quiet on me. Hallelujah. It's the truth. It is the truth. Receive the truth. Don't be frightened of the truth. Hallelujah. Do you ever hear this thing? Oh, as long as all we worship in the same God. Oh, no. I am not worshiping the same God as you. I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know who I'm worshiping. That's the God that transformed my life. As long as we worship the same God. Oh, it doesn't matter as long as it's sincere. No, it's not. God doesn't care about your sincerity. God cares about His truth. Hallelujah. Sincerity doesn't change you. Truth changes you. God rejects ignorant generations who have been taught by ignorant parents because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. This is a good word from all the mothers and fathers who are watching this message this morning. Hallelujah. If you haven't heard that from your pastor, you're hearing it from the word of God this morning. Receive the word of God this morning. Hallelujah. You can be in a thing and thought it was right until you read the Bible. And you go, wow, I've been living an ignorant life. This is the truth. I dare you, go and open the word of God this morning and read His word. Let the power of God transform you this morning. Hallelujah. You can be zealous about the wrong things, just like Paul. Paul was so zealous about the wrong thing. And he thought it was the truth. To him, it was the truth. And he was so zealous about it to the point where he was actually persecuting and killing those Christians. Paul was a murderer. But listen, the murderer gave us all the wonderful new book of the New Testament right there. Hallelujah. There are some people who are so excited about something that they believe and they think it's the truth and they want to go and tell everybody. I said, revelation is great, but don't you go there studying a doctrine out of a revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation is great, but it's not for you to go and find a new doctrine on it and build something for it. But when God took all of you and I, transformed us forever, we began to know the truth. Hallelujah. I thank God for His Holy Spirit. Friday, we are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Get up in the morning. Join us. Be part of something that we are sharing because God is speaking to us. If you've never been trained in a Bible college, these are fundamental stuff that they're bringing. But it happens when you put it into practice and the manifestation of the power starts to happen in your life. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. That's why I said this morning, if you preach the truth and the people do not want to receive the truth, what did Jesus say? Dust your feet, walk away, and let me deal with them. Bible even says, give them to the devil. Why are you stressing about something that you cannot change? Why are you having sleepless nights on something that you cannot change? God is the one that makes the changes. You've got to believe and stand in faith that the people that you're ministering to will change. But you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Every time we try to get in front of the things of God, and God says, get out of the way so that I can save the world. But we try to get in and do things on our own strength, and we burn ourselves out, and we go, man, this is too hard, and then we give up. Jesus never gave up. He went all the way to the cross. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was in there. And He asked Father the question, He says, God, Father, is there another way? Is there another cup? Can you get this cup away from me? Is there another way? And God never spoke. The only time God spoke was when He was baptized and when He was up in the mountain of transfiguration. Hallelujah. Ooh, I got the word right quickly too. My mouth gets dry and then all the words come out wrong. Let me just drink that too. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say anything. He said, is there another way? And He answered His own question. God remained silent from the garden all the way to the cross. Didn't say anything. And he said, not my will, but your will be done on earth. Hallelujah. He answered his own question. That's something that you and I should think seriously. That when we start something, that when we do something, we're going to go all the way. He never stopped halfway. He went all the way through. That's a lesson. God challenged me on that as I was reading the Bible. And I saw that and I thought, God, you never spoke. He answered his own question. That's a principle in life that we should learn. Hallelujah. Therefore, preach the gospel and move on. Share your vision with those who are going to support you and stand with you and bless you and say, we're going to work together with this. Matthew chapter 7 verse 6 says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample on them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Hallelujah. I have stopped sharing vision to dogs and pigs, but to people that will stand and support me in the things of the church, of ministry, of things. That's why our prayer meeting is very important for us. Because we pray and we discuss things at the end of the prayer meeting to see where God is speaking, where God is taking us. It's not just another gathering of people, it's prayer. We come to pray together. Your own prayer life is great. It's for you to build yourself up. But coming together to pray together is important. So that we can hear God from each other. Hallelujah. Romans 10, verse 1 to 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to you for God, God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to what? Knowledge. That's the problem. A lot of zeal, but no knowledge. And that's a dangerous thing to play in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now here's the famous saying again that people used to justify themselves. Oh, as long as it's sincere and they're serious about it and what they're doing, and God will bless them. No, it doesn't work like that. I talk about principles more than anything else. I believe any pastor, because the principles kept me from my walk with God. Like I said, grace does not cancel out your responsibility to obey the word of God. God, Jesus came and said, I am not here to destroy the law. I have come to what? Empower it. Put the Spirit back into it so that you and I can operate in the Spirit through the word of God. Hallelujah. And we read the next line. Paul says in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Self-righteousness. Dangerous thing as well. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness and to anyone who believes. Sounds familiar? Tradition. He's saying that these people are so zealous about something that they believe it's true, honestly, sincerely, and zealously wrong. And Christ had the same problem that you and I are dealing with right now. I should say, us pastors are dealing with right now. That's why I never wanted this job in the first place. Until God says, I'll do it. You just don't worry about it. I'll do it. So I sleep well at night now. I go to bed. That's God's business. God, that's your business. Church, that's your business. I go to bed, drink my coffee, relax, talk to you, have my relationship with you, read the word of God. Hallelujah. Move on with life. Don't have to worry about people. You need to understand how important this message is this morning. Hallelujah. For we can do the wrong things, zealous about the wrong things, and end up in the wrong place. God never purposed for us. For they are being ignorant, verse 3 says, ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Listen to me, my friends. This is what's destroying the communities. This is what's destroying what these people have been propagating in those places. And we are in a mandate now to go into those places and bring truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I am zealous about this message this morning because God confirmed some of the things and some people that are in the same mindset that I met and we talked. And I sat down across the table from them and wept. As they're talking and they're weeping, I'm talking and I'm weeping. Because of the people, because of our people going to hell, getting destroyed by ignorance, and we're playing church and bringing traditions that we believe that that's ours. Hallelujah. Listen, we have no time to be playing church and all this. You had me speak about that a lot and I keep saying it. When God brings men like that before my path and sit down and weep before me and say, Pastor, I believe your church should be the one working with us in those places. I said, thank you, Lord. We've been praying for these kind of things. And I shared with Papa Joe and he got excited. Hallelujah. They're zealous, but not according to the truth. Tradition must serve truth. If it has to be the servant of truth, not become truth itself. Tradition has to be the servant of truth. If it is not, then don't go there. Hallelujah. The key to tradition is not tradition, but its intentions. What is it intended for? Question it. Don't just follow it. Don't just follow pastors because they're preaching some powerful message. Don't follow pastors because they're signs and wonders, prophetic. Don't stop following people until you check the Word of God. Check their life. Make sure they're people of integrity before you follow them. Hallelujah. Don't follow blindly. God has given you the Holy Ghost and also the Word of God to be able to discern those kind of things. And your spiritual antennas stand really sharp. You can smell a rat from far. Hallelujah. I smell rat now, really far. They don't have to come closer to me. I can smell them. And that's the Holy Ghost telling you that that's not from God. It is a dangerous time we're living in right now. And I'm zealous about this message because there was a message I preached at the end of last year. God says, preach that again because it wasn't on live stream. Is it recorded? Recorded. We're going to work on this. We're going to work on this for our people. If we're going to talk to the generation of tomorrow, that's what we're going to talk to them about. Hallelujah. My friends, I'm zealous about these things, and I've shared it with you this morning because God wanted me to bring it to you. I brought it before, I remember. But I think it's good for us to go back to those things and stay on it for a while until it sinks in into our spirit. It's not just become a nice devotion or message or some nice, say, oh, Pastor Preta, preach a nice message. No, these are instructions that we take on and say, God, this is what we're going to work on. This is what we're going to apply into our lives and make sure that we become the people that are going to teach truth and bring truth to the people. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. After that, whole generation. See, it is possible. Let me just say this before I read the scripture. It is possible for a whole generation of children born and grow up not even knowing God. It's happening right now in our schools, in our communities, all over the world. Young generation of people growing up not knowing God. And this country is notorious for that. They don't know God. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 2, verse 10 to 14, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew either the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Hallelujah. My friends, church is not just some kind of a nice club. We do this so that the kingdom of God can be preached and the people with mindset change will be able to change nations, change communities, change the nation. Hallelujah. It starts from the little humble beginning of family. That's why the devil wants to destroy your family by all this marriage equality and all this other rubbish. Because that is not from God. That is from the devil. And it will come in. It will destroy your family. It will destroy everybody that you think that are following after this thing. It will destroy you. Whatever that you do not know will destroy you. Ignorance is the greatest enemy. Hallelujah. And the devil knows how to use ignorance. So be careful. That's a caution today. Jesus expressed this as one of his major goals. When he came to earth, he made a statement in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill. Wrought in the spirit of the word of God. Hallelujah. I pray that this message is not just some nice devotion this morning. Hallelujah. I pray that this message is something that you will receive today and you will transfer it to your people, your home groups, or whatever you are ministering to, whoever it is that you're talking to. Bring this to them. Hallelujah. Because we think everything is nice and we just flow with everything and we end up in the wrong place. And a lot of people are ending up in the wrong place. I can guarantee you that. It's a dangerous time we're living in right now, so we have to be very careful about what kind of messages that you're receiving. Check it. That's why Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, study. Make yourselves approved. Hallelujah. Therefore, God is constantly and literally taking us back from tradition to truth that it was supposed to deliver. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. He says, why then, they asked, did Moses order a man to give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus answered, it was because your hardness of your heart that Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But then he says this. He says, but this is not the way from the beginning. The kingdom is not like that. My kingdom is not like that. He says, you have heard, do not commit adultery. But my kingdom says, if you even look at somebody, wow, that's a statement that you and I should understand. Hallelujah. My friends, it's time to disappoint your kids. Tell them the truth about whatever things that has been a tradition in their life, in your family, whatever it is. Break it. I had to break tradition in my own village. My village is notorious for witchcraft. My grandfather was a propagator of prostitution. My grandfather was a manager of a brothel. You didn't know that, did you? Now you know. I had to break those things in my life. These are traditions that have been in my family for ages, generation and generation, and it's destroying my family. And when I came to Christ, I said, Jesus, this will not go to my children. It stops from me here. It is not going to reach my children or their children or their great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. Do not mess around with the things that you know that is not from God. If you have something that you're holding on to that doesn't belong to God and it's your tradition, get rid of it. Hallelujah. I had to break all this stuff in my own life, in my own family, so that I am set free from that stuff and my children are set free from it. Hallelujah. If you need something broken in your life, we're going to pray with you this morning. I want to pray for you. I believe we have to break some things that are being traditioned. I don't care what it is. If it is not in God's word, if it's not biblical, then get rid of it. Because the devil will always use something that belongs to him. The Bible says he goes around accusing the brethren. Goes before God, says, you see a servant Job? He says he's a really nice guy and cool guy and worships you and everything, but he says, take everything away from me. He'll curse you. Hallelujah. He was around there accusing. So be careful. Hallelujah. I remember the message I preached on the city of Ai when God spoke to me clearly through his word. First message was the city of Jericho. Second was the city of Ai. Get rid of whatever that is. The accursed thing, whatever it is in your life, get rid of it. Hallelujah. Don't bring it to church and baby it like some sort of a baby thing and take it out again and live with it. Get rid of it. That's all I can say. And if it needs to be get rid of this morning, we will pray for it this morning to be taken out. Hallelujah. So remember, the key to tradition is that it should bring truth to you. And if it doesn't bring truth to you, get rid of it. Hallelujah. There's a new t-shirt, Pastor Jen. Get rid of it. Shut up at the back and get rid of it in the front. I love those t-shirts. We're coming up with some great ideas for t-shirts. We've got to be wearing those t-shirts. Proclaiming everything that's been taught and preached inside the church. Hallelujah. Please stand with me. I want the music team to come. We're going to pray. And we're going to break these things inside your life today. I know that people that are watching, if you're watching this morning, if you're a person that's been hard on tradition and hanging on to tradition, culture and all that rubbish, we're going to break it in your life today. Hallelujah. Please stand with me. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that I will not keep my mouth shut, O God, in the things of the truth, O God. Things that have to be dealt with inside the lives of your people. Father, I don't know people's lives, but I know that we've all come from somewhere that has got tradition attached to it. But Father, we are people of the kingdom now. We understand your word, your Holy Ghost, is the one that counsels us. He's the great teacher that teaches us everything. And Lord, when we learn these truths and when we hear truth, the power that comes with it transforms our life. God, I didn't listen to some nice social gospel to be transformed and changed. Somebody gave me a hard message, strong, with truth attached to it. It was so powerful that transformed my life forever. And God, that is where I stand, on that place I change. That those who are listening to this message this morning will also understand that it is the truth that will break everything. Every yoke that have been attached to them shall be broken today. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Come on, I want you to pray. I want you to stand in that place where you're standing right now. I want you to pray. If something comes to your mind about somebody who's got the same problem, we're going to pray together as a church. Hallelujah. This is a thing that we work together. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hands up. Lead us in a song. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, as you set the strategy, O God. Father, I pray, God, we come against every attack, everything that has been propagated in their lives, Father, whether it's from people they know or those that claim to be Christians. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your people, Lord, that scale, that veil from their eyes will fall, that they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free, O God. Father, you are the one that sent us the Holy Spirit. And you said, wait at that upper room until I send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it shall reveal the truth to us. And Father, He is the counselor. He is the teacher. He is the one that teaches us everything. He is the one that discerns all this stuff for us, oh God. Father, I pray that your people this morning, as they raise their hands before you this morning, and as they pray, oh God, I pray that their spirit be alive and Lord, be built up, oh God, in the things that they may be able to discern things that are not from you. God, I thank you that you call, Lord, men and women of the same heart, oh God, to come together to be able to move this agenda forward, oh God. Lord, we may not be able to change those that have gone before us, but Father, I thank you that give us the opportunity and the ability, oh God, all the resources to be able to teach and transform the generations that come after us, oh God. Father, we pray for our children, oh God. Thank you that our children's minds are guarded from everything that has been taught to them, oh God. Whether it's from the education that they're learning at school. God, I pray that their hearts will be connected to you. That they will be able to decipher and understand that something is not from you. That they will be able to stand and question the things that are being taught to them, oh God. Father, I pray that from this kind of generation and this kind of mindset, we are able to transform. We are able to keep people from falling into that trap, oh God. Lord, I bring this prayer before you. And I thank you, God, for those that are having this ability to be able to discern things that are not of you. God, I thank you. Give us that power. Give us the ability, oh God, to go before and speak truth into the places that we are about to embark on. God, I know that the mantle of this place has changed. I know that the direction of this place has changed. And so, Father, I pray, continue to guide us and give us the wisdom to be able to undertake everything that you have given for us to do. Father, I break everything that is in the mindset of your people this morning. Father, something that is not of you, anything that has been attached to tradition, anything that has been attached to culture, things that have been causing them to be bonded by these things, oh God, believing that it's something that they should hold on to. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I destroy that right now. Your word says that you have given us authority, Jeremiah 1:5, to uproot, to destroy, and to rebuild. God, I stand on that word today, uprooting everything, oh God, that is not of you. Everything, Lord, destroying everything that the enemy has planted in the minds of your people, in the hearts of your people. And Father, I rebuild the things of the kingdom. I speak the things of the kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells inside all of us today. Lord, I thank you. Let your people be transformed by this message this morning. But Lord, not only just hearers of the word of God, but be people that are passionate about it, to activate it into their hearts, to see the power of change happen inside their communities, inside their families, and Lord, inside their own house and themselves. Lord, I thank you. Start with us, as our prayer has always been. Start with us. Whatever that you need to change, whatever that you need to bring in, start with this humble fellowship. Hallelujah. We bring ourselves humbly before you and make ourselves available to you to use us in every gift that you've already bestowed upon us. You have given us gifts, but Father, I pray you empower those gifts so that this church will go forth and take on the kingdom of darkness by bringing the truth, Lord, into the people. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In no other name but the powerful, mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, we pray. Everybody agreed and said, Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give your neighbor a handshake or a high five or an elbow five. We don't do elbows in this.